Start in a short series called Battle for the Mind. Last week we looked at the fact that when you become a Christian, there's certain things that instantly change the second that we respond to Jesus. We are given a new nature. We have a spirit that was dead that because of sin suddenly becomes alive. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. There are things that change instantly the second that we become a Christian. There's some things that will change when we go to glory. We'll get a new body and we'll get to see Jesus face to face. And there are some things that are gradual and a total battle. And the one thing that is a massive battle is the battle for our minds, transforming our minds and making them more like what Jesus would want them to be thinking God's thoughts. Massive battle. So if you've got a Bible, I would love you to turn to 2 Corinthians and chapter 10 and verse 3 to 5. And we're just going to read those little scriptures there. And while you're turning, I'm going to pray. God, I pray this morning for an impartation from you, Lord Jesus. We want to win this battle, Lord, and we pray that you would strengthen us in the battle for the mind, that we would be transformed, our minds would begin to be renewed more and more and more. Lord, we want to be thinking your thoughts, not stinking thinking of the world. And so, God, we pray there'd be an impartation today, and I pray that you give us principles and strategies and ways to win this battle for the mind in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's just read 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 5. For though we walk in the flesh, in our bodies, we are not waging war according to the flesh. Okay, not waging war according to our bodies. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. So in the Bible, when it comes to talking about our thinking and our minds and changing our thinking to the kind of way that God would want us to have, it uses battle language. Uses pretty punchy, pretty fiery language. Weapons of our warfare are not of flesh, but they've got divine power. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought. Battle language throughout scripture. In Ephesians 6, it talks about having a shield of faith to stop the fiery darts of the evil one. The enemy wants to fire fiery darts of daft thinking against us, and we need to raise the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, to protect us from the fiery darts of the evil one. He is pretty nasty, and his thinking that he tries to bring against you is pretty nasty. Elsewhere it says, gird your mind. Gird up, put the belt on, gird your mind, guard your mind. Real kind of punchy battle language. 1 Peter 1:13 says, prepare your minds for action. Come on, prepare, get ready, go for it. I find that if you don't do that, if you just let your mind wander, then you get in trouble. See, you've got a new owner. We've got a new owner. God is our new owner. We are God's children now. God has taken over ownership of our lives. We are no longer the devil's territory. See, it says in scripture that before we come to Christ, the whole world kind of is Satan's world at the minute. And as we come to Christ, we are no longer Satan's territory. We've got a new owner. Jesus is in charge. But he wants to counter attack. And the kind of language I want to use today, I guess, is a bit like the landing strip. You know, kind of an aircraft landing strip kind of language. Because this is very much what it's like in a battle. David's smiling because he knows where I'm going. In a battle, you know, it's really important that you have kind of air superiority, I guess. I don't know much about warfare, but you need to have air superiority and you need to keep the airport. You need to keep the airfield. So very early on in the Ukrainian conflict, they tried to seize the airport just outside Kyiv, and it was defended, and they couldn't land in reinforcements. And what the enemy wants to do is take the landing strip of your mind and keep landing in utter nonsense, utter stupidity, and stinking thinking. You've got to keep that landing strip open to Jesus. So the imagery that David Taylor's desperate for me to now bring, because he was there, is kind of a long time ago now. Trouble is, I'm in my 50s, and like the 80s isn't that long ago. But it is. It's a long time ago. And right at the start of the 1980s, we got into a war in the Falklands, to retake the Falklands. And I mean, I was a kid at the time, but I remember the Armada going, and it was all a bit kind of woo, the Armada's going, and all these ships were travelling down to go and retake the Falklands. And meanwhile, while they were travelling down, a younger David Taylor was involved with an operation that involved lots of planes doing clever things, because Falklands Islands is a long way away, and they had to refuel and refuel and refuel. But we bombed the landing strip. We blew up the landing strip, which stopped the Argentines using it and bringing in even more reinforcements. So it's the imagery that we've got. We've got to protect the landing strip of our mind to stop the enemy landing in thoughts and bringing in reinforcements. So easy, isn't it? When you start to let a bad thought or stinking thinking in, he just keeps bringing more and more and more, and you can sink down into a spiral of stupid thinking, can't we? Happens a lot. Even the other day I was thinking, I just let a stupid thought in, and then you end up in this sort of rabbit hole of stupid thinking. You think, what am I thinking? This is stupid. Stop it. Got to take it captive. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they have divine power to destroy strongholds. The weapons of our warfare, the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, is our weapon. Is our warfare, and we're to take captive. You know, a fearful thought is trying to land in. The devil's trying to bring a fearful thought, trying to land in. Got to take it captive. He's circling around, looking for a place to land. Lustful thought, stupid thinking, really bad, spirally thinking. He's flying around, trying to land. Got to take it captive, and not let it land. And you see, the enemy's thoughts, I mean, they're always lies. Got a number of things up there. One of them, lust. You know, the enemy would try and bring lust and lustful thoughts in. But lust doesn't satisfy, doesn't give, leads to addiction, leads to just, you know, getting stuck in it more and more and more. The enemy's thoughts always lie. Fear. He tries to bring fear all the time. Irrational fear. Now, fear is one of those complicated things, isn't it? Because some fear is healthy. I fear touching a gas ring that's still alight. And that's a healthy fear, because I'll get burnt if I do. It's a healthy fear. But some fears are totally irrational, totally silly, totally stupid. 40 years ago, see, no, not 40 years ago, what am I talking about? Not 40 years ago, Dana will correct me in a minute. 1994, how long ago is that? 30 years, thank you, better maths. I was frightened myself that I was 10 years older than I was. 30 years ago this year, we got engaged. We went to Paris to go and get engaged. And I hid in my rucksack a little bottle of champagne and the ring and a couple of glasses. And we went to the Eiffel Tower. Now, we were at the time poor students, so I couldn't afford the lift ticket. So we paid for the cheap tickets to go up the stairs. Trouble is, one of us has an irrational fear of heights. One of us is quite scared of staircases that you can see through the gaps. So one of us wanted to throw up by the time they got to the third flight of stairs. It was me. So my romantic plan to go on one knee to Janet on the Eiffel Tower didn't work because I felt sick and we had to go back down. So I took her to the Arc de Triomphe. And this is how stupid the fear is. The Arc de Triomphe is the same height. When you're on the Arc de Triomphe at the top of it, you can see the Eiffel Tower. It's the same height. But the staircase is made out of stone and you can't see through the gap. So I got up the staircase without any fear at all. Some fears are really silly. An enemy tries to land them in, tries to hold us back from doing things. Cynicism. I've spelt cynicism wrong, haven't I? Needs an S. Needs another S. If you're from a British culture, I mean, I know not everyone here's grown up British, but the British are a really cynical lot. We're terribly cynical. You know, somebody's giving a wonderful testimony of what God's done in their life, and a British person will be thinking, oh, yeah, well, The Brits are really cynical, and I apologize for that. That is not from God. That is stinking thinking. Lies, lofty speculations, bringing in arguments and pretensions that take us away from God and faith in God, seems semi-reliable. Satan came to Eve and said, did God really say? Will you really die? Seems semi-reliable, seems semi-true, but it's a lie. And then we can think about these things. And we think, how do I know whether this is the enemy's thought or not? I mean, climbing up the Eiffel Tower, it's been there for what, 200 years? Pretty sure it's not going to fall down today when I'm climbing up the steps. But I'm also pretty sure that if we were to ever go back to Paris, I wouldn't be able to do it again. How do we know whether these thoughts are from the enemy or not? Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it kind? That's what my mum used to always say. Do you know whether it's a lie or not? We need to take every thought captive. You need to be in that moment thinking, hold on a minute, this is not from God. This is cynical. This is bringing fear. This isn't bringing peace to me. This is a lie. We've got to take every thought captive. But you know what? It's not enough to just take every thought captive. Because what we can do is think, I must not think about, and of course you're thinking about. What we have to do is replace it with something else. So Philippians 4 is pretty helpful in this regard. If you want to turn with me to Philippians 4, verses 4 to 9. And here this passage deals a little bit with anxiety in the battle for the mind. But it says this, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. But do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So instead of getting anxious, it's saying start praying. The minute you feel anxious, start praying. Give thanks. Give thanks. Pray. Supplicate. There's a good verb. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So as we take captive the anxious thought and begin to give thanks to God instead and start to pray, what then happens is a miracle happens and God brings the peace of God that transcends all understanding. It's much bigger than what we can understand. Guards our hearts and minds in Jesus. And then this is the key verse. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Think about these things. So Paul is challenging us to think about things that are good, to change the bad thinking for the good thinking. Think about things that are true. Think about things that are honorable. Think about things that are lovely and commendable. Think about things that are worthy of praise. We have to replace that stinky thought with a good thought, with a God thought. For years, before that, 2 Timothy 2:22 says this: flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness. So instead of the evil desires, pursue righteousness. Got to stop that one and start the good one. Start the good thinking. Remove the thought and replace it with a better thought. For years, when I was a youth leader, I used to do this illustration of a Big Mac and then something else and get people thinking about a Big Mac. I was listening to a sermon recently where somebody did it with Donald Trump. Think about Donald Trump stop thinking about Donald Trump, and you can't. Start thinking about Nelson Mandela, and then suddenly Donald Trump disappears. But we'll go for the Big Mac, not the political one. So think about, not much good if you're vegan, but think about, we can replace the thought in a minute. Think about a Big Mac. Okay, you've got the burger buns. Then you've got that thing that's pretty tasteless. When you scrape off the burger sauce, it tastes of nothing. It tastes of dishcloth, doesn't it? But we've got the patty. And then we got the burger sauce spread on. Then we got the iceberg lettuce and some cheese under the burger, over the burger. Then we got a tomato. Then we got another bready type thing. And then maybe another burger on top. And then more burger sauce, more lettuce. So it's all falling out of the packet. Then a burger bun on the top, and it's in the cardboard packet. You thinking about it? Do me a favor and just think about it, because I want to get off a Big Mac pretty quickly. And then as you eat it, you bring it out of the thing and all the bits of lettuce are falling out, and you eat it and you think, all I can taste is that burger sauce. And a bit of burger falls off, and you try a bit of burger and you think, that is totally tasteless. Yeah? You're thinking about that? Stop thinking about Big Macs. Stop thinking about the lettuce. Stop thinking about that gross sauce. Stop thinking about the cardboard packet that it came in. Stop thinking about the fact the burger tastes like cardboard. So you can't, can you? You're still focused on that awful Big Mac. So now we've got to replace it with a good thing, haven't we? You can't replace it with KFC, can we? Think about chow mein. The noodles. The bamboo shoots, the weird shaped vegetable that I don't know what it is, but it's got that kind of undulating thing. Think about the bean sprouts, crunchy in your mouth. Think about those massive prawns that are terribly overcooked. Think about the sauce, the oyster sauce, the sesame oil, the soya sauce. Think about the fact that a portion is enough to feed about 5 people. See, the Big Mac's gone. You're thinking about chow mein. We've got to not just remove the thinking. The only way to remove it is to replace it with something better. To start thinking about something else. There's apparently a sign at the top end of the Sahara Desert that says, careful which rut you go into, because you're going to get stuck in it for the next 1,000 miles. What we need to do is replace the thinking with better thinking. The Bible here tells us anything that's good or worthy of praise, think of those things. But think about God's thoughts. Replace the thinking that is stinking with God's thoughts. I remember when we first planted the church, there was a young lady that came with us called Catherine, who was beginning to work in the CBT field, cognitive behavior therapy. And it's one of these things that the doctors now use to help people that are struggling with their thinking, with depression, to change. It's about training your mind to think on different things. What I'm talking about here is that. But actually, is that on steroids? Because the thing that we're going to replace it with is God's thoughts. No God's thoughts. Get rid of the stinking thinking and start thinking about God's thoughts. You know, the world often talks about mindfulness or emptying our minds. or positive thinking. We're talking about filling our minds with God's thoughts, with God's thinking. And we need to know what God's thinking is. You know, good question to ask. What would God think about that? What would God think about that? Sometimes people say, you know, do I have to read the Bible? Not a great reader, I don't like reading, find reading difficult. Do I have to read the Bible? And in a sense, the answer is no, you don't. God won't love you any less if you don't read the Bible. But we're not talking about reading a book here. We're talking about reading and devouring and meditating upon God's words, God's thoughts. This book here is full of God's words. It's full of God's thinking. And if you want your thinking to be God's thinking, if you want to get rid of the stinking thinking and have God's thinking, then we need to start devouring this thing. And if you're not a great reader, the wonderful thing now is that you can listen to it. Romans 10 anyway tells us that faith comes by hearing. So if you're not a great reader, listen to it. Listen to the Bible being read. I quite often listen to the Bible in 1 year with Nikki Gumbel, and it's Poirot does the Bible reading. The Suchet guy, David Suchet, is it? He does the Bible reading. It's great. And he listened to the Bible. Can listen to Scripture. Allow it to get in there. Allow it to get into our thinking. See, enemy, John 10 tells us the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come so that you might have life and life to the full. And these words in here are the words of life. Yeah, the enemy will come and say, God doesn't love you. Not really. You've done this and that and the other. And you're beginning to think, does God love me? But if you're saturated with God's thoughts from the Bible, what God's got for us, you will know that he does love you, and you will have a verse or two that replaces that stinking thinking with what God thinks. We can have, you know, anything that comes against us, there is something in here that will help us to think right, to think well. I noticed somebody's got, Kathleen's got a Gideon's Bible, and at the front of there is often, if you're thinking this, go to this verse. You can find them. If you're struggling with this, there's this verse to help you with that. Learn that verse. If there's a particular issue that you're facing in your thinking, then find a verse that speaks God's thoughts with it, that helps us and replaces that stinking thinking. Okay, let's do some examples. A lot of people struggle with fear. In fact, they say that people born between 1981 and 2000, which are kind of what they call the millennials, they're often known as Generation Fear. And Lily Allen sings a song about being taken over by fear. I've mentioned fear already, my fear of heights. I mean, there are healthy fears. There are healthy fears. When we took a youth group to go and paint an orphanage in Romania, and part of what I needed to do was replace all the light fittings in the building, when I saw the electrical fuse board, I had a healthy fear of not taking out the fuses because it was really, really dangerous. There's good fear, but there's unhealthy fear that paralyzes us from doing things and doing the right thing. Again, when I was younger. So I've always had a fear of heights, and I've always done things to try and counteract it. I mean, certain parts of my fear of heights are good, like standing on a cliff edge that's crumbly. That's a healthy end of the fear of heights. But I've done things over the years to try and conquer the fear of heights that I have. I've jumped out of a perfectly serviceable aircraft, which was great. It was it was amazing. I had no fear of heights whatsoever. It was just such a beautiful experience, it was good. I have tried abseiling. So abseiling's the thing when you have a great big harness on and you've got the rope and you go down a cliff or something on it. And I've tried that. Insane. And I'm standing there petrified. And the man in front of me says, did you know fear is spelled F-E-A-R? Yes. False expectations appearing real. So at the moment, I'm thinking this rope is going to fail. I'm going to die a horrible death. He says, the rope, you've got two ropes. Each one of them can take the full weight of a car. Okay, your expectation that the rope is going to snap is not going to happen. It's been checked. It's safe. Go for it. And so I did it. Woohoo! And then I did it again. And then the next time I went abseiling, I was petrified again. But I remembered false expectations appearing real. Some of you have a fear of heights. Some of you have a fear of getting lifts, getting in lifts maybe, staying alone. Some have fear of going in the dark. Some have a fear of getting in cars or going out or staying in. Lots of different things that people fear. Some things are rational and healthy. My fear of heights is completely irrational. Most of the time it's nuts and you have to fight it and just press through. Matthew 5:25-34. Jesus talks about these kind of fears. Matthew 5:25. He says this. Nope, that's completely the wrong passage. It's the one about anxiety. Why are you afraid? Ah. Why do you worry? The birds don't worry. The sparrows don't worry. God looks after them. Somebody's going to shout out the verse at me in a minute, I know. 1 John 4, very helpful, says, perfect love drives out fear. There is no fear in love because perfect love drives out fear, and fear has to do with punishment. It's the love of God that replaces those irrational fears. It's that moment when this fear is coming upon you that you then need to think, false expectations appearing real, yeah. But you also need to think, God loves me. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That Philippians wonderful verse. When you're about to face something that you're really scared of, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. It's a good thing to replace the thinking about. So there's fear. Second one is kind of depression and depressive thoughts. Apparently now, 1 in 4 under 16s have depressive thoughts. There's loads of sources of depression and depressive thoughts. But quite a lot of it is in our thinking. And I've got to tell you, dark and gloomy and despairing thoughts are not from God. And I do think that for many people, a course of antidepressants, you know, going to the doctor and getting some tablets or something to help you with it, to get the brain chemistry back in line, is a good thing. It's a helpful thing. But the thing about antidepressants is they deal with the symptom, not the root. In the world's terms, you need CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy. But we also need God's way, taking every thought captive. It's hard. It's slow, but we will win. As you take these dark and gloomy thoughts captive, you can win the battle. I've seen many people over the years win it by replacing the thought, by battling with this thing. The picture there is a glass. Is it half full, half empty? Some of you in the room, it's a half full glass. For others, it's a half empty glass. And I think it's the way that we're wired. But for those that are kind of the kind of more gloomy side, the more kind of it's all going to go bad, it's all going to go wrong, it's half empty. Sometimes you think, actually, that can't be right, that thinking. When dark thoughts come, we've got a choice. We can accept them, let them land, or we can take them captive, or we can refuse them in God's strength and replace them with God's words. When you think about Jesus, he was in the wilderness and Satan was coming to tempt him. Each time Jesus counteracted it with something from the book of Deuteronomy. He'd clearly been studying Deuteronomy before he went to the wilderness. And the more that we use the word of God to counteract these depressing and dark and gloomy thoughts, the quicker the victory. The more the word Word of God lives in us, the more that we're able to sort out our thinking, the more that we're able to stop them landing. If you wake up gloomy, sometimes we do, if you wake up sad, the gloomy, go to the Word quickly. Go to worship quickly. I love the way Nicky Gumbel says it's the first thing that he does every day is to get the Bible out and read it. Go to the Word quickly. For every depressive thought, every bad thought, there is something, as I've said, to combat it. It's hard to stay down when you read the Bible. James 4:7 says, submit to God, resist the devil. Does it say he'll skulk away? No, he flees. As we submit to God and resist the devil, he flees. Okay, last two quickly. Cynicism. Because it's part of British culture, it robs us of genuine faith. We immediately, in Britain, doubt everything. Some of you have been listening to what I'm saying and saying, you know, about depression or CBT or whatever, and you're doubting it. Doubting what I'm saying. What do you Christians know? It's the immediate thought that British folks, I don't know whether other cultures are like this, but definitely British is often like it. We doubt everything. Well, yeah, but. Or we say, I can never. Or we say, I can't do. It robs us. Robs us of rejoicing in what God is doing. Robs us of joy. We need to replace it with God's thoughts. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes from the Word of God. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And then the last one is self-esteem. Low self-esteem is at epidemic levels, and it's so paralyzing. Shocking statistics now about people self-harming, teenagers self-harming. Why is that? I think it's got to be something to do with social media and our media being so pressurizing, so competitive, so nasty, giving an idealized picture of what things should look like. We've got to replace that kind of low self-esteem with what does God think? What does God think we're like? We're made in the image of God, fearfully and wonderfully knit together. We need to know God's thoughts about us. Let that flood us. Flood our thinking without it. Devour this. Devour the Bible. Saturate yourself with its truth. You might say, I don't have time for the Bible. I don't have time to read the Bible. I'm too busy. Do you have time for Facebook? Of course. I'm pretty sure I heard of course there. Do you have time for Facebook? Do you have time for the newspaper? Do you have time for your iPhone? Do you get ever so slightly frightened each week when it tells you how long you've been on the screen for? A long time. A long time. Let's reach for the Bible first. Get a Bible app. Reach for the Bible first. Let's finish up with Psalm 1, verse 1 to 3, which says this. Should be up on the screen, hopefully, in a minute. Blessed is the man or the woman who walks not in the counsel of Facebook, nor stands in, I'm slightly translating this, nor stands in the way of Twitter, nor sits in the seat of Snapchat. Okay, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Yeah. You're going ahead of me. Law of the Lord. When it was written, it was the law of the Lord. Delight is in the Bible. We've got the whole thing now. And on his law, on the Bible, we meditate day and night. most of us are quite good at worrying. Yeah? Who's good at worrying? Okay, quite a lot of us are good at worrying. Meditating is worrying about good things. Okay, it's getting rid of the anxiousness of it, the negative side of it. And instead of worrying about bad things, it's meditating, it's thinking. Okay, replacing worry with good thinking. Where are we? On his law, he meditates day and night. And because of that, he will be like a tree planted by streams of water that yields fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. If we don't saturate ourselves with stupid thinking, don't allow Facebook to drag you down, Instagram to you know, just bring that dark thoughts to comparison. You know, on social media, people put the best of life and the worst of life, not the middle of life. If we meditate on this, if we let this saturate our thinking, we'll be like trees planted by streams of water, and we'll bear fruit in season, and we won't wither, and we will prosper. The battle for the mind is hard. The way to win it is largely this, devouring this. We're finding just praying in tongues a lot helps too. The doubtful thoughts come in, you start praying in tongues. Start thinking on the scripture. Replace the thought with the good stuff. Let's pray. Father God, we want to win the battle for the mind. We are sick to death of gloomy thoughts, of despair. We're sick to death of depression. We're sick to death of the lies of the enemy. We're sick to death of getting caught up into habits of thinking that just drag us down. Lord, we want to be thinking your thoughts. Jesus, we want to be replacing the bad stuff with your stuff, the good stuff. Lord, we want to know what you think about things, and we want to think about that. So Lord, I pray, would you help us, Lord? Would you help us, Lord? I thank you that you always provide that way out. Thank you that for every troubling thought that we can have, there is scriptures to help that bring the good stuff. Help us to devour your word. Help us to meditate, to think on, to chew on good things, Lord. And I pray that we would win this battle for the mind. That you would grow us to be more like you. You would mature us in our thinking and therefore in our actions. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. So next week, Omodachi is going to land the series, Battle for the Mind. I'll be in Gdansk. Nina will be back in India. And there's a baby shower in the afternoon for Kate. May God bless you this week. May you have good thoughts. May he bless you in the word. And have a great week. There's tea and coffee out the back there. Enjoy.